we are, and we touched on it last Sunday, and here we are again working our way verse by verse through this precious psalm in the Word of God. It's where we pull our theme for 2022. Say it with me. I shall not be moved. One more time. Now listen to me. This ain't one of them phrases that's just going to happen because you say it. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. You may be saying it every Sunday at the end of the service and leave here moved all week long. You better have more than a phrase if you're going to live the Christian life. The New Testament, Paul said, Peter said, then having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I can't remember if that was Peter or Paul. Might have been Paul in his letter to Timothy. But it's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost said it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Good gracious. In these last days, we don't need a form of godliness. We need real godliness. I shall not be moved. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord. Has your soul been talking to God lately? This is what you ought to be telling them. Thou art my Lord. My goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Let the church say, amen. Our Father, I pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word, for it is already blessed. As your vessel, would you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Use the Bible to speak to us. And one thing we know about this book, it will read us better than we read ourselves. Help us to be willing to be read. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts. You see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Let us pray that prayer with David. For somebody in the building that needs to be read, a sinner on their way to a devil's hell. Might today be that day that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. Please, God, bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place. May he not hinder the work of what God is doing. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I shall not be moved. This miktam of David. If you have your Bible, it probably has that caption in it underneath Psalm 16. We discussed last week that the miktam is a meditation or a prayer. How many believe that people ought to pray more? Men ought always pray and not faint. If you're fainting, you might not be doing enough praying. It means to stamp or to engrave in. This was something so precious and so worthy that it was engraven on a durable tablet for preservation. It was kept, remembered, read, rehearsed, thought upon, and chewed on. Stamped like gold. This is what this prayer is indicative of in Psalm 16. Something that David would pray one time, but remember many times after that. Meditating on the truths of God's word and that which we communicate to him. Might I say to you that too often we pray to God, we're done and we're off with the rest of our day. Paul said in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. It does not mean it's possible to keep your eyes closed all day long. How can you work? How can you drive? But what he is saying is remain connected to God. Stay in the spirit of prayer. Keep your communication lines open with God and never close them. There are people you got to hang up with. There are people you got to break up with. There are people you got to unfriend. There are people you got to quit answering their call. There are people you got to hit ignore when caller ID shows their name, number, and face. But God is not one of them. You must stay connected to Jehovah. And so David made that statement in Psalm 16, verse number 8, I shall not be moved. Why? Because he had set the Lord always before him. We've established that it is God's proximity to us. It is the prioritization of God in our lives that enables us to be able to stand. I cannot stand just because I'm a member of a good church. I cannot stand and not be moved just because I'm born in a good family. I cannot stand and not be shifted just because I have good intentions. I'm religious and I'm trying my best and my motives are sincere. It takes more than that. The winds of the world and the difficulties of trials and the unseen and uncertain and unannounced calamities that show up in our lives will knock us down. They'll chew us up and they'll spit us out. Listen to me. You don't have to be living in a busy area. You don't have to be living in an expensive area. You don't have to be living in a crime-infested area. If you're living in this world, you're living in a world of sin. And unless you've got some spiritual fortitude, unless you've got some biblical principles, and unless you've got God before you, listen to me. The God that we serve is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent everywhere at the same time. David said in Psalm 139, where am I going to go when you're not there? If I go up high, you're there. If I go down low, you're there. In the morning, you're there. In the nighttime, you're there. Aren't you glad that God's there on the mountaintop, there down in the valley, there in the good times, there in the bad times? When you got money, he's there. When money's funny, he's there. When you're surrounded by a crowd, he's there. When you're all by yourself, he's there. When things are going well, he's there. When things are going bad, he's there. When you got good health, he's there. When the doctor gives you bad news, he's there. Aren't you glad he's everywhere? But David's not talking about the omnipresence of God. That's just on God. His character says he is everywhere. David's talking about where I place him in my life. First place, he's not an afterthought. He's not somebody I dial up just when I'm in an emergency. He's not a bailout plan. Every single day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I must set the Lord always before me. He's got to be at my right hand, my first option, my only option. I was listening this morning as we were riding in on the radio. The old song said, if anyone should ever ask you my life story, for whatever reason there might be, tell them, once I was blind and now I see, and Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. If he's the best thing, why is he not always before you? I have set him. God's omnipresent. That's on God. Where you set God, that's on you. Well, Pastor, I keep getting moved. Where's God? Where have you put him? That's why we read our Bible in the morning. That's why we talk to God in the morning. That's why we come to church. I said, that's why we come to church. Some people aren't physically able to come to church. Some people aren't comfortable. Some people have some difficulties that would mean they don't need to be around a lot of crowds. For everybody else, you need to be in church. Well, church helps you set God before you. That's why we have church on the first day of the week, because it's the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. Hey, listen to me. If I'm going to start my week off right, it'd be a good thing to be in church on the first day of the week to set the Lord ever before me. Maybe if I put him before me on Sunday, I'll get up and put him before me on Monday and on Tuesday. You know, maybe if I do it on Wednesday, I'll do it on, maybe I'll go through a whole week. I'll put the Lord ever before. Maybe if I learn to do it for a week, I can learn to do it for a month. I can learn to do it for 12 months. I can learn to do it for, maybe I can look in the rearview mirror and I say, you know, I've just gotten used to making a habit of setting the Lord ever before me. People say, how are you still living like that? How are you still talking like that? How are you still walking like that? How are you still serving? How are you still tithing? How are you still praying? How are you still married to that same person? Well, it ain't because we don't have problems. It ain't because we ain't living in a world. It ain't because statistics don't say that divorce is prevalent. It's because we decided as a couple we weren't going to set Dr. Phil and Oprah and all the other books before. We're going to set the Lord before us. We've just decided we're not going to be moved. Preach, Pastor. Now, his desire for preservation is what we talked about last week. The passion for it is called preserve me. Listen to me. You want God before you? You need to beg him to preserve you. And here's why. You can't preserve yourself. Too many Christians done thought they've been saved for a little while. I got this thing down. I don't have to read. I've already read it. I don't have to go. I've already heard it. I don't have to attend. I've been attending a lot of times. I don't have to go to war this time. I've been to a bunch of wars. Ask David about that. He stayed home from one war, and now we're still remembering the sin of Bathsheba. Can you imagine reading your Bible if that one war David had gone to? What spiritual warfare did you take off from this week? What day did you say, I don't have to go to that war? I bet David was tired. Tiredness is never an excuse not to war. Amen. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So his passion, the passion of his call, to distrust himself, to be desperate for the supernatural, the placement of his commitment. Oh, my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord. Here's David talking to David. Hey, soul, this is what you need to say to God. Every once in a while, you need to talk some sense to yourself. Come on now. You need to talk some sense to yourself. Stop telling, calling up people. I just need you to encourage me. I just need you to talk some sense to me. Some of you need to talk some sense to your own self. Just get in the mirror and say, you need to act better. You need to talk better. My soul, David said, I have said this, oh my soul, thou hast said to the Lord. Hey soul, this is what you need to tell God. Thou art my Lord. Sometimes it's good to hear us say some things we already know. Amen. That's why you hear me say sometimes, turn to the person beside you. It's not because we don't think you know it. It's because sometimes you need to hear yourself say, he's my God. Amen. Every once in a while, people call me and they tell me that I'm struggling with depression and discouragement. Immediately, I direct them to the Psalms. I say, you have to read through the Psalms. I believe it's important for the believer to read through passages like the Psalms. The Psalms remind us of people that were in distress and in despair and downtrodden and despondent and destitute and depressed and all of that. But you read through the Psalms because the Psalms are centered on the character of Almighty God. Here's what I also tell people. When you're reading through the Psalms and you're going through depression, read them out loud. Read them out loud. Why? You need to hear yourself. Sometimes when you read stuff in your head, the devil gets in your head. And you're trying to read the Bible, but you're thinking about other mess. Isn't it amazing some of the most wicked thoughts you have when you're trying to pray? Come on, raise your hand if you saw. Thank you, Pastor. I'm glad you said that because I thought something was wrong with me. It is something wrong with you. You have a flesh. Spiritual warfare. The devil doesn't want you praying. Your flesh doesn't want you praying. So sometimes you need to talk out loud so you can hear yourself pray. So the devil can hear. So you can just speak out loud. It's harder to be distracted when you're talking out loud. Sometimes you need to say soul to God. Thou art my God. Listen, when you get discouraged and you feel like you're moving and you feel like compromise is on the precipice and you feel like you're shifting and you're being pulled off your mark as a Christian, you need to talk out loud to God. You need to remind the reins of your brains that God is not just a God, the God. He is your God. Amen. Now his desire for preservation, we touched on this last week, brings us to a duty towards people. A duty towards people. It is God's preservation in my life that allows me to be a blessing to people. Look here just a moment. Eyes. You can go back to your notes in just a minute. If God keeps preserving you, he's not just preserving you for you. He's preserving you so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. This is what God said to Abraham. I will bless you and I will make of thee a great nation. But watch this now what he said to Jeremiah. I will bless thee and thou shalt be a blessing. I get a little sick and tired of running up to people. You meet them, you say, how they doing? I'm blessed. But they're never a blessing. It's okay to be blessed, but when's the last time you've been a blessing? Now, here's what David said. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Here's what he's saying. If I'm going to do good to somebody, I can't do good to God because God is heavenly and I'm human. But I do good to God by doing good to God's people. Okay, about 12 of you agree with that. Let me say it again. I do good to God by doing good to God's people. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. Jesus, what are you talking about? In that ye have done it to the least of these, ye have done it to me. Listen to me. The next time you are trying to keep from being moved in your Christian life, find somebody that you can be a blessing to. His action of service. My goodness extendeth not to thee. Verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth, do good. Galatians says, as we therefore have opportunity. I remember Brother Hartwell preaching that one New Year's Eve. Opportunity, he said. Move that neck. Hey, opportunity. You know how Brother Hartwell does it. He doesn't. He's got the lankiness to do. Here's what he's saying. Here's what the proverb said. Withhold not good from someone when you have it. Defer not to pay. Preach, pastor. I have it to give you, but I'm going to give it to you later. Well, if you got it, you need to go ahead and pay it. Because chances are with your old spending self, when you're ready to pay it, you ain't going to have it. Me too. Now, it ain't just about money. It's about opportunity to be a blessing. Who did you pass this week that you had an opportunity to be a blessing to? And you said, well, not now. I'm too busy. I'm too selfish. You know why? I didn't have God before me. My action of service is to do good, to do good. The Bible said of Jesus, he went about doing good. And it says, as he was in the world, so are ye. You know what's happening? We got a bunch of Christian people in the world that are good at speaking good and sorry at doing good. Nowadays, it's getting to the point you won't find somebody cheap, look for a Christian. You won't find somebody selfish, look for a Christian. You won't find somebody rude. Oh, man, the world can be rude, but I can tell you somebody way ruder than the world. Get you a saved rude person. They'll be the lost rude person every time. God help us. Notice the context here. The action of service. Notice the attitude to the saints. But to the saints. By the way, Galatians chapter 6. I got on Brother Hartwell. I forgot the rest of the verse. Especially to those of the household of faith. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And that you have love one for another. Who wants to be in a family where nobody gets along? Here's what he's saying. We'll do good to everybody, but especially to other saints. Here's my attitude toward the saints. Look at what he says in verse number 3. But to the saints that are in the earth. Thank you for clarification, David. Can't be doing good to people who aren't on earth. I love mama. I just want to live so mama can see it. Mama's in heaven. She don't need your good. She got God. You got to do good to somebody that's actually breathing oxygen. Saints in the earth. Here's his attitude towards saints. He has a very positive perspective about them. He says, and to the excellent. Here's what David said. I view saved people as excellent. Oh, pastor, this is elementary preaching. Really? Tell me some Christians in your mind. Your viewpoint of them is excellence. When I think about the people of God, I think excellence. Listen, I'm afraid that our esteem for worldly things and people of carnality has exceeded the way we view Christians. Listen to me. There are people of God that would rather give more to a rapper or a musician that they've never met than a child of God that they're going to spend eternity with. To the saints. Now I can send money to a manufacturer for an overpriced pair of shoes because they're going to look good on my feet. But it comes time to give a man who's going to leave the country and go start a church in Brazil some money. I don't got but $5. Now, Jordan's a billionaire. The Johnsons and the Halls and the rest of them are missionaries. You're going to give more to Jordan than you're going to have to somebody that loves Jesus? To the saints. Where? Listen. You want to tell me how good you are? Show me your checkbook. What did you spend on this week? I'll tell you about your goodness. Where did you spend? You don't show me your goodness? Show me your calendar. Where were you this week? See, where you spent your time is where you deposited your goodness. See, you can't be running around in the wretched ditches of the world and telling me you're giving goodness in the things of God. You're going to do good to wherever you're spending your time.
I might need to change where I'm hanging out. And who I'm hanging out with. I have a positive perspective about saints. And notice he says, I have a personal pleasure in the saints. Notice what he said in verse number 3. And to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Watch this now. I'm pleased about saved people. I'm pleased about being around them. I'm pleased about fellowshipping with them. I'm pleased about spending time with them. I'm pleased about having them over my house. I'm pleased about going over their house. I'm pleased about going to church. I'm pleased. Listen, you give me a chance to go on the golf course, walk up on the golf course and say, I'm going to play today with my golf. I haven't played in over 3 years, so this is all just kind of hypothetical. But anyway, you just give me a chance. I'm going to go golf today all by myself, and I'm going to walk up on that golf course and just say, hey, I'm here. Chances are you walk up as a single on the golf course, they're going to say, well, we don't like to send singles out because there are other people that are going to go. So we'll find three other guys to put you with. And listen to me. Listen, I get to play with three other people and enjoy the game of golf. But chances are somewhere on that cart, somebody's going to start speaking some language. Somebody's going to pull out a beer after the ninth hole, and I can't tell him what to do because he's a grown man, you know. And all of it, listen, well, you give me a chance to call up Brother Austin, or call up Brother Jefferson, or call up Brother Hayes, or call up Daddy and say, let's go golfing together. You give me 4 hours with three other Christians, or 4 hours with three other law. I'll take 4 hours with the Christians every single. It's not because I don't have a burden. It's because we walk together because we're agreed. I have a problem with saved people that look for opportunities as often as they can to be around people that aren't saved. Something's wrong with that. I just need to get away and clear my head. You want to get away and clear your head because your head's full of lost activities and thoughts. And you want to get around somebody else that's lost to validate your lost carnal thinking. You need to get around somebody that's not going to validate your carnality, but somebody that's going to confront your carnality and enhance your spirituality. My delight is in the saints. There's something wrong when you enjoy Friday nights with people that aren't saved. Not for soul winning, but for social drinking. I'm still in the book. To the saints. In whom is my delight? David said, I delight in the saints. I don't know about you. If something feels good about getting into the church house with other people that love Jesus. They ain't perfect. I'll go find me a perfect church. Are you going to it? Because as imperfect as it is, it got more imperfect when you got there. I can go find me a place. I don't go to the church because there's hypocrites in the church. Don't stop you from going to the club. There's hypocrites there. There's hypocrites at Walmart. There's hypocrites at Target. You still up in there with them hypocrites? Hey, listen, hypocrites everywhere. The best place for a hypocrite to be is in the church where he's going to hear the word of God and get confronted about his hypocrisy. Amen. That's not a good. You don't come to church for people. You come to church for God. But when you get here, the Spirit bears witness, and they love God, and they carry a Bible, and they got the Holy Spirit, and there's bearing witness inside of us. He said, in whom is my delight? Here's what he's saying. I just enjoy. I'm just pleased. I just get a kick out of being around other saved people. But I don't like being around Christians. Christians get on my nerve. What you going to do in heaven? Some of you say, thank God for Sunday night's message. I'm going to be glorified. So I won't have a choice to let Christians get on my... Listen, you ought to enjoy other saints. The action of service, the attitude towards the saints. Here's where we close this morning. So, David, if you got an attitude toward the saints and an action of service concerning them, then what is your approach towards the sinful? Listen, how do I train myself as a believer to hate sin? Is it possible? Show me or tell me if you've located a Christian class that instructs you or proselytizes you into a 100% successful plan in hating sin. You've been saved for 20 years. Put your hand up. 20 years or more. 20 years. I've been saved for 20 years or more. 30 years or more. Keep your hand up. I've been saved for 30 years or more. My hand's up. 40 years or more. You've been saved for 40 years or more. I'm looking around the building. Pastor Mike. Anybody else? Is our sister here? Anybody else? Oh, the Joneses. Brother Dre, Camille, Sister Carol, Tibbs, Tobert. Some saved for 40. John Austin, got your hand up. You've been saved for 40 years. Okay, well, these are veterans. Stand up, veterans, Christian veterans. Stand up. All these Christian veterans right here. Been saved for 40 years. Praise the Lord. These are our instructors in the building this morning. Remain standing, all of you, if in those 40 years of your salvation experience, you have mastered the 100% foolproof way of always hating sin. Remain standing if you always hate sin. You never like it. You never have a desire for it. So we have Ron and Antonio who've mastered this. They like, nah, we just ushers, all right. Why is it these 40-year-old Christians still have a desire towards sin? Listen, you can't have a class on hating sin, but here's a help for you. Love spiritual things and an automatic distaste for sin will happen. So notice what he said. I view the stuff of God up here. So if I put God up here and the stuff that applies to him and the people that belong to him, then my viewpoint of people who don't serve him got to be down here. Now, how is it that people come to church and say, the church get on my nerves and I don't like the Bible, I don't like preaching? I guarantee you, check their spiritual inventory. Sinful stuff up here. I don't like preaching. I don't like services. I don't like Christian songs. Well, I know what you do like. I know who you do like to hang around. I know what you did listen to on the way up in here. Because if you hate somebody singing, I'm redeemed. If you hate somebody saying, I'll see him do it again. If it gets on your nerves that somebody's singing about come to Jesus. If people are standing up waving their hand, no matter what, I come my way, my life is in here. I don't know why they waving their hand. Well, I know what you waving your hand to. You might not want to tell anybody what you don't like because you're simultaneously admitting what you do like. Here's what David said. This is how I view the spiritual, the saints. Here's how I view the sinful. And then we'll close. I'm aware of their consequences. Verse 4. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Oh, they look like they party and they look like they're having a good time in sin. David said, they don't have me food. Their sorrows shall be multiplied. Everybody you work with that's living for the world, living for the devil and living in sin and makes it look funner than what you're doing living for God, they are faking. Psalm 73, don't be envious against the wicked, Asaph. Their sorrow shall be multiplied. A guy looks like he's having fun getting drunk. Look at him about 5 hours later. If you can find him. The pleasures of sin are good for a season. Lot says it looks better over in Sodom. Read the end of Lot's life. He's in a drunken stupor. Incest with his daughters, a seed that represents enemies of Almighty God, a wife that turned back because she was she was leaving Sodom, but Sodom hadn't left her. Wow. He says, I'm aware of their consequences. And subsequently, I avoid their company. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another. Anybody that's chasing anybody but God is going to have increased sorrow. So here's what he's saying. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Watch this now. If I know what they're doing is going to end up bad, then why would I do it with them? Did anybody just hear me? If I know what they're doing is leading to destruction, then why would I join them in doing it? God help us. This is why we've got to win this in our mind. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why this battle of our mind has to be won through prayer. If you don't have a good prayer life, you're living in the realms of powerlessness. You can quote the principles of God's word all day. The power to live them is accomplished through prayer. Did you pray today? You probably were moved on the way in here. You ever wonder why you can't get to a service without being distracted? You've not done enough preparation in your mind to stay on task. Too much junk in the trunk. God help us. He says, I'm not going to participate. Notice he says, I avoid their company by refused participation. I will not offer their blood offerings. And you know, the scripture teaches us that these heathens would offer offerings and they'd often slit their skin and offer their blood and they'd pass through the fire. Here was the problem. They were offering blood offerings and often drinking of that blood. Here's what it was to a false god, to an idol, to a false deity. Now, we don't see a lot of that practice happening today, but I tell you what, there's a lot of people that are giving their sweat and blood for other stuff and other people that not God. Here's what David says. I'm not joining in that mess. I am not going to be a participant in idolatry. Did you worship an idol this week? Did you pledge your allegiance to somebody besides the one that woke you up in the morning? Did you spend your tithe on somebody else? Did you waste your resources on people and things that did not line up with the truth of God's word? Here's what he says. I refuse participation and I reject promotion. He says, I will not offer their blood offerings. And listen to what he says in verse number 4, and then I'm done. Nor take up their names into my lips. I ain't going to even call the names of them idols out loud because I do not acknowledge their validity.
Well, I'd just like to do a deeper study on the other religions of the world.
For what?
I just want to see what other people believe.
For what? How are you going to study other religions and you ain't even well-versed on your own?
I've been studying the Quran to make proper comparison.
When last time you read through the Bible?
Well, I keep getting it psalms to get stuck there.
You're going to start in the Quran and you haven't finished with the book? God help us. I will not take up their names.
Listen to me. We spend too much time talking about foolishness. I said we spend too much time talking about foolishness, gossiping about it, narrating about it, making conversation about it. Did you hear what they doing? And look at all that's happening over there. And I can't believe they did that. And I done heard that somebody into that. And now they started doing it.
Listen, we got to call out sin. But here's what David said. I am not going to be uttering the names of false gods as if they actually exist. Because when you start calling somebody by name, then you are making that name actually indicative that somebody is a somebody, and there's only one somebody that's Almighty God, and that's Jehovah God. I'm not going to promote them. I think Christian people, unintentionally or intentionally, have done great disservice to the work of God by promoting heathenism.
I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm going to go ahead and preach it and let it hit where it hits. You better be careful if you TikTok in a bunch of worldly dances. You're promoting the world. Preach, Pastor. Well, I'm just so glad that my sanctified self can actually do the dance. Listen, you are a free advertisement for Satan. I'm not going to call their names out. You blast their song on your ringtone. Now the devil said, oh, good.
I got my influence spreading out because that guy right there spent a lot of time around Christian people. So if I can get him to put my name on his ringtone, I can get the influence among unpritten to David said, no, I ain't put that mess on my phone because I will not acknowledge their name. Come on. Be careful. You start using the world's vocabulary. You learn all these words. And then I ask you what they mean. Everybody know what they mean. I don't know what they mean. How you learning new words and you ain't learned the words already been taught? By the way, you young people need to spend more time learning English than you do learning slang. Slang will get you a job. I talked to a professor recently. Well, he works with professors. And I talked to him. He said, I'm speaking to professors that teach English at the college level. And he said, kids are turning in their papers with text language. Like instead of writing, I want to give this to somebody. I want to give this the number to somebody. They done text it so much now they don't even know how to use letters. You get around people and they're dropping all these words. What does this mean? I mean, if you want to say cake, say cake. Money, say money. You want to talk to a lady, say lady. Not broad or whatever else foolishness. Don't get quiet like you don't know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, the pastor got to drop it down where you can catch it so you know I'm aware of it. I didn't grow up in the hood, but I spent a lot of time down in it. I got some witnesses in here. More than some of you that try to act like you from there. Never had a problem down there. Never have a problem with anybody. Never had a problem with me. Anybody messing with me down in the hood, I wouldn't have had to lift a finger. I could have left the gym there to beat up everybody and come back the next day and say, how'd it go? I'm not lying. You ask some of them folks around me. Have some respect. But some Christian people walk around here like, I'm from. You ain't been nowhere. Drop you off in the hood. You be running behind Uber before they pull it off. Wrong place. Come back. Man said, didn't I just drop you off? You shouldn't have. Some of you Christian kids can't wait to get in the world. You too scared for the world. Keep your behind around the people of God where you can act like you got some clout. These singles got me revved up this morning. Neither had this pulpit hot up here. God help, we got to quit doing promotion work for false gods. Christian people got stuff plastered all over their body that's worldly. Y'all getting quiet. And then some of them plaster verses on their body, but they won't quote them with their mouth. We're still in church. I will not even say their names. I am not going to give credibility to a non-existent entity. Especially at the expense of worshiping the one true God. Come on. Well, Pastor, I don't really see eye to eye with David on some of those things you just mentioned. And that's why you keep getting moved. Talk about the God you do serve instead of spending time talking about the gods that aren't even gods. It's all right. I'm almost finished. You see that? That's what happened to a child when you'd make them leave the service. I don't want to leave the pastor. He's doing so well. That's the way a Christian ought to sound when the devil's trying to lure you to temptation. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Come on, let's watch this show. I don't want to watch TV. We're in a mess. You can't tell who the Christian is and who the carnal is. I shall not be moved. My desire for preservation gives me a duty towards people. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Help us. We got to do better. We got to be Christians. Christians for real. Not just Christian in title only. Please help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Come and say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. I've got Bible reasons to prove it. I'm going to heaven. Would you put your hand up all over the building? Saved, and I know it. Got Bible reasons to prove it. Going to heaven. I have been redeemed, like P.T. sang this morning. God bless you. Put your hand. Pastor, God spoke to me. Spoke to me. I'm not talking to anybody else. I didn't hear something in the message that I need to tell somebody they need to hear. God spoke to me in my Christian life today. Would you put your hand up all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. The pastor's got his hand up too. That's right. God bless you. Listen, young people. You're an ambassador for Christ. Make sure you're not promoting idols. Anybody in the building would say, you can put your hands down, thank you. Would say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, would you let me pray for you? I'll not call your name. I don't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you long enough for me to see your hand. Anybody like that at all on the floor in the balcony? Thank you. There's a hand. God bless you, sir. And ma'am, God bless you. We so appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Put your hands down. And our leaders are watching, and they'd love to talk to you. They'll avail themselves to you when the service is over. I'd love to give you an opportunity for somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can know that you're going to heaven. If you'd like that, when one of our deacons, their wives approach you, please let them take a Bible, just a few minutes, and take you down the road to Christ. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody else? You're tuning in online today. You've never been saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll admit you're a sinner, you're born that way. You believe Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again. And you'll confess your sins before Him. The Bible says, God will save you. Right there, wherever you are today, you'll bow your head in sincerity and childlike faith. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. Wash my sins away. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you prayed that prayer, the prayer didn't save you. It's the faith in your heart that saves you. But you confess with your mouth. You've asked Christ to save you wherever you are today. We're asking you to contact this church. Reach out to us in our church office and let us know that you've prayed that prayer, and let us do what we can to help you in your Christian walk with the Lord so that you can set Him ever before you. For the Christians all over the building, would you pray where you are as God has dealt with you and trust that God will honor the sincerity of your prayer. Father, we pray that you bless what's happened in the building and that we'll leave here better Christians than we were when we came. For the two that raised their hand, I pray that they'd be willing to let someone show them how they can know that heaven is their home. And that we as a church could help them
in their walk with the Lord. Bless God and honor your word this day and in the days ahead till Jesus comes. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's give God the